Atheist Nomads, episode 287, Purity, Toxic Masculinity, and the Theocratic Blitz. And you better believe there's a lot of patron content this week.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hello!
And for the second time as official co-host, we have Aaron.
Hey, every time are we going to do that?
Yes, or is it just we're going to do a counting.
Yeah.
Fourth time. 45th time, here's Aaron.
Great.
Less enthusiasm as we go.
Oh God, she's here again.
The more time you piss us off. Let's see if she's drunk this time, folks.
I have a hard enough time keeping the episode number straight. Right. Do you think I'm going to try to keep track of that too?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe for a while until it's like...
You get two.
Two. Okay, you get perfect. Two. We got two.
I can count one to two easily.
Sometimes. It depends. It depends. I don't.
All the best things in life come in twos. Like boobs.
Well, you said it before me. Yay.
Boobs.
Oh. If I say it, it's politically correct.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh boy, we have some fun stuff coming up. So, but before that, don't forget, this coming Sunday, January 27, is going to be the potluck with the Atheist Nomads with Humanists of Idaho. Link is in the show notes if you want to find it on the Humanists of Idaho meetup page. And let's move into Dustin off the degree. It is not often that I'm excited about junk mail. And then arrived.
Ooh, he was. He's like, oh, let me see that. That was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Lauren wasn't home when I got home and I found it. And oh, man, I was so excited. It's like, okay, how far am I going to be able to get through it before they actually admit who they are?
Oh, it doesn't say on the.
They don't actually fess up to it. The location is the only thing that gives it away.
Huh.
Unless you grew up with this.
Okay.
Because the artwork hasn't changed in 20 years.
Ooh.
Yeah, this check out these graphics.
There's a dinosaur. There's two... is it a dragon?
It's a dragon, yep.
Oh, there's two dragons, a lion with wings. There's a bear, a dude with a sword on a white horse. There's an angel.
The bear has three ribs in its mouth.
And the lion has wings.
Yes, the lion does have wings.
She said that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. And then the same... God, how unoriginal. The same thing on the inside,
and
only
on the
smaller.
Back.
But there's more pictures. Opening night, second night, third night, fourth night. Oh, it's 7 days.
That they tell you about. Because they aren't going to tell anybody that it's actually 27.
Holy crap.
Because nobody's going to commit to that, but people will go to 7 days, yeah.
Yes, you're right. There is not the... Oh, it does say the church.
Uh-huh.
Finally.
Only because that's where they're holding it.
Right, Cloverdale Adventist Church. And there's a picture, just in case.
Uh-huh.
Just in case you're not quite sure. Because it's not... It probably is not the only church around in the area.
Yeah.
Here, this is a picture of the church, not that other church.
Yeah, because Meridian has a shit ton of churches.
Oh my God, for sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if Meridian has more churches than Boise, despite being half the size.
I can guarantee it.
So it's like, learn more about the biblical prophecies of the books of Daniel. I've never even heard of that. And Revelation, using the Bible as your only textbook. Your only textbook.
And on the back, it even advertises that Jesus loves kids.
Yep.
Just in case you're worried.
So these...
It's a great pamphlet. Very informative.
I remember when the church I grew up in did an evangelistic series. Mm-hmm. It's really expensive to put one of these on.
Yeah.
And that's despite the fact that the pastor doing it is usually a conference or union conference official.
Mm.
Like an actual, officially an evangelist.
Okay.
They... usually have a home, but mostly live in their motorhome as they travel around doing evangelistic series.
Is that what you did in Mexico?
Yes, but I stayed in a hotel. But yeah, that's what I did in Mexico. They send college students and high school students and, you know, seminary students and the like to do that in the developing world and its official professional evangelists that do it in the U.S.
Because we smart here. we need
officials. That's because we're not going to take a 17-year-old at his word.
Yeah.
Right.
I was 23.
Gosh, Lauren.
Aw, baby face.
Does it say something about TV on the front?
Yeah, yeah. National Seminar coming to Boise, as seen on DirecTV Hope Channel.
Okay.
So we got a Roku recently, and Lauren was flipping through, got to the religion section on the free apps.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of fun as we were going through. I'm like, okay, that one's Adventist. That one's Adventist. That one's Adventist.
One of them actually said the word Adventist.
Wow.
They're like really not very proud of their religion at all.
Well, they are, but they know a lot of people think they're weird.
Right.
So they aren't upfront about who they are.
That's because they are.
Yeah. Is it like NRA TV?
Oh, God.
Hey, they admit to who they are.
It's true, and they've got some real interesting.
They got some winners,
anyway. But
so it's so like the one that the church I grew up in did, and it's actually considered best practice to rent out a neutral space, so a hotel conference room or a fairgrounds auditorium. That's what we went with,
right?
And you rent that out for the first 7 days because. You don't admit to being Adventist for the first 7 days.
Oh.
Well, until you do the Sabbath message. Here, it's the seventh night. God's test of loyalty.
That sounds so ominous.
That's keeping
it really is.
That's keeping Saturday as the Sabbath.
Yeah. But that to me sounds like, are we going to...
But what day of the week is that being held? Is that Saturday or Sunday?
Programs... Started on Friday, January 11. The seventh night is Friday, January 18.
Just in time to get all
so
those
just
people.
This past Friday. And so at 7 p.m. that Friday, they would have then invited everybody to come to church Sabbath morning. But not a day before.
Bait and switch.
Oh, yeah. It is totally bait and switch. Even if it's being held in an Adventist church, it's sponsored by an Adventist church, and it's a conference evangelist doing it, like, it's the official church structure running everything. Not the printing of the materials. That's all printed by independent ministries that are cleverly not named anything Adventist,
right.
So they can send it out without saying that it's coming from the Adventist church. All right, so opening night was... Unlocking Revelation's mysteries. So learn the key principles of biblical interpretation that provide the basis for unraveling the mysteries of Revelation and its most relevant message for today. This is very similar to how they structured the evangelistic series that I started preaching. I only got 4 sermons in before I called it quits. Because the point of it is to convince people with that first one, the Bible is... a reliable source of information. That is the point.
Right. So you convince them Bible is true, and then you got to convince them that there's something wrong with you, and then you got to convince them that you have the cure for it.
Right.
Yep. So the next one, A Thief in the Night. We're wondering about being left behind? Come tonight and hear a crystal clear presentation about the Bible really, or about what the Bible really means when it talks about the Lord's coming as a thief in the night. So
they're going to scare the shit out of you. Is that what?
Establish reliability.
Is right. Nicolas Cage involved?
Then scare the shit out of people.
Right.
That's step two. Convince them they have a problem.
Yeah.
The third night, spiritualism exposed, death's mystery solved. Millions wonder what lies beyond the grave, what death is really about. Find hope and answers to the mystery of death this night.
So are we saying like someone died, now they're coming back? They had an experience, and now they're going to let you know what they saw.
You offered the solution.
Yeah.
I don't think this is even that specific. This isn't like the kid coming back and being, spoon-feeding stuff to the media. This is more just like, well, this is what the Bible says.
Right.
And we've already determined that the Bible is real. So
So you're scared, but now we have that solution, so you don't actually have to be scared.
Yeah. Because they're offering the solution. All you have to do is take it.
Right. It's so easy, they say.
The fourth night, Revelations, 1,000 years. This is the premillennial, postmillennial, not millennial as in the millennial generation, but the 1,000 years talked about in Revelation. Adventists believe that Jesus is coming before the 1,000 years. Oh. And that the 1,000 years is spent in heaven. The fifth night, what is hellfire really about?
Seems pretty self-explanatory.
That's what happens after the 1,000 years when everybody who didn't accept Jesus or whatever light was made available to them, the out for people who never heard about Jesus, that's where all the bad people get burned up and cease to, they get brought back to life to be told how they were wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to admit, if I was in charge of a religion, that would be involved. It's like, you're wrong. Yeah, look, think about it, and you're gone. All right.
Yep.
Oh, unlike where, unlike Mormons, who you just, you're in quote unquote hell, but it's still better than life on earth, but then you can see everything that everybody else is doing.
Yeah. Well, unless it was with Mormons, unless you're really bad, like an apostate Mormon, and then you go to the outer darkness.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Sounds sci-fi.
Which apparently isn't any worse than Earth.
I feel so like...
The bottom of the rung?
Well, I feel like they still try to say if you could be there, you'd kill yourself right now. Oh. Even at the worst of it, you would be like, well, I'm dying because it's a little better than here.
All right, fair enough.
The sixth night is the issue that divides the world. I am going to guess that one is about the papacy.
What's the papacy?
The Pope, the Catholic Church.
Them Catholics. There's a lot of anti-Catholicism in Adventists.
Yeah.
Well, okay, the Catholic Church is the dragon.
Oh. All these new things I'm learning.
Oh my gosh, dragons.
The dragon with the 10 horns is the Catholic Church.
Oh. They've got a pretty cool character.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, actually, it's kind of 10 horns. It's kind of 13 horns. It's really 12 horns because there were the 10 horns, but
what
then one of
what did you just say?
There were 10 horns, and then one of the horns was defeated.
What?
And in its place came 3 horns, which that horn was the Pope that got deposed by Napoleon, and in his place there arose the 3 anti-popes.
This is science fiction.
Yeah, it really is. I wish everybody could see our faces right now. Lauren and I are just like, wait,
those numbers don't make sense. How does a horn do anything?
Horn.
Yeah, so seventh night is God's test of loyalty. That's where they talk about the Seventh-day Sabbath and how the Catholic Church willfully and intentionally changed it to Sunday to get people away from God. And yeah.
Interesting. Now, my question is, the only way that I would stay is if they had the best food.
Oh, yeah. Their hot beverages would have to be amazing.
Okay, so you're probably thinking about it from the Unitarian perspective of coffee and donuts.
No,
all out buffet.
Listen, I'm thinking it from my perspective. If you want to keep me around, you better fucking feed me.
Vegetarian cuisine and nothing with caffeine.
Hey, I would go for some really good cheese stuffed things.
Fake cheese, probably.
Ooh.
Depending on how conservative the church is, it may be.
Don't diss on vegetarianism. Some of that stuff is hella delicious.
I know,
right?
Especially when they can somehow suspend it in a Jello mold.
Oh, the best stuff. The
not
things,
vegan friendly, but at least vegetarian.
The things that Adventists can do with gluten.
Oh,
is amazing.
So you're telling me there's bread.
In everything.
And she's on board, people. Yep.
Oh, well, there we go.
So they have the little thing at the bottom after the seventh night. And future sessions will be announced.
Yeah.
That's when the last day they tell you there's 20...
more.
20 more. There's another 3 weeks after you've already gotten through a whole week.
And I'm guessing at that point, then they would definitely stop providing food.
Probably.
Oh, and we are going to have the front of this on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
We have an Instagram now.
Yeah. By the way, we have an Instagram at Atheist Nomads. Aaron and I are working on it. I'm also working on a group for Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That's
going to be just for patrons. So,
but not the Instagram.
No.
No. Oh, God. I'm making this so conflagrated and confusing. The Instagram is awesome. You'll find baby pictures, probably dog pictures, pictures of guests, and other random relevant shit that we...
Right.
Yeah. Whatever beer Dustin's drinking that's not PBR.
We might go live. That would be fun.
Can we go live
on
Instagram?
Yeah, we can go live on Instagram. That could be happening. You can watch videos of us on our feed and in our story. So we're trying to do the things.
Look at all the social media.
Yeah.
Damn. It's like you got a couple of women on the... Yes, that's sexist. But.
Speaking of women, I think it's time to get to the news.
I was going
to
say, this cannot end well.
Speaking of women.
So, Aaron, how did it go for all those women who took purity pledges?
Oh, it did not go well.
What? What, pray tell, is a purity pledge?
Right, yeah. So, I did just find this article, and the article... title is, whatever happened to those girls who signed purity pledges? Hint, it's not good. That was the title.
I remember seeing that, yes.
Yeah, so basically purity pledges were a really big thing back in the late 90s and the early 2000s. And it turns out that they're finding now a lot of repercussions. A lot of deeply damaged women out there, and men. And I don't, this one was specifically more about women, but we do know that men and boys also took that, but,
yeah.
So, a lot of,
I signed on to purity pledges several times.
Yeah.
It was a very common thing in, like you said, the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was in my late teen years.
I remember purity rings being a big deal in middle school and high school.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that was more an evangelical thing, specifically.
Right. Okay, that was, plus it was a dating thing. It was.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, specifically.
But I love you enough to wait for you.
Right. Well, and then they did this really, they did this really gross thing where for girls as young as 7 and up, where it would be these like father-daughter purity balls.
Oh, they still have those.
Oh, so
in fact, I just saw one advertised for like next weekend.
Right.
Here in Boise.
So basically, you just go in, you dress up like it's prom, and then your dad gives you this fancy ring so that you have to tell everybody who's at the ball that you're going to wait. And I think the thing is that really what we're finding out is according to the latest statistics in this article, the average American actually loses their virginity around 17. I was a little earlier than that. There are some people who are a little later, right? But between 1994 and...
Or quite a bit later.
Right. But between 1994 and 2004, as many as 2.5 million American youth signed these abstinent pledges.
Yeah, I knew quite a few people who signed them and then did not adhere to them at all.
And that was,
it was just, if your youth group person gives you something to sign and they're staring at you and you're like, oops, too late. You're not going to say that at church. You're going to sign the damn thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so the other thing is that there was a woman who published an article in 2009. Her name is Janet Rosenbaum. And she found out that... basically, even if you sign these, that it didn't matter. You were more, you were still likely, just as likely if you didn't sign it as you did to lose your virginity around that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think what a lot of women are saying now is that what they felt is deeply ashamed about themselves. That they thought that maybe at 22, 23, they were going to find this person. Then it didn't happen. And then you're having hormones. You're feeling all these feelings about wanting to have sex. But you have made this pledge that you're not going to do it. And also, that's not really giving you autonomy over your body. You're saying like, well, I have no, my body is property and I have to wait to give it to somebody. I told my daddy I would.
Yeah. No, with personal experience with it.
Yeah.
I didn't lose my virginity until after I left the church.
Yeah.
And that was only directly partly because of the decision to be absent until marriage. There was also the factor that dating really sucked for me. And that is partially related too, because what you find in that kind of culture is the only point of dating is to find somebody to marry.
Right.
So it is all deathly serious at the very beginning.
Because that's true.
And the consequences are huge.
Right. And you have all these hormones. So you're like, okay, 17, 18, I'm going to get married because I need to get rid of these feelings and feeling so guilty about everything.
Yeah.
And I still remember this a little bit because I was 16 to 18 when I ended up going and participating in the Mormon church. And I remember the use bubblegum terminology. Like, basically, if you give it away, and at that time I had already done that, so yeah. I felt incredibly awful about myself, was that I was just a used piece of bubblegum. But then there's also these... I know.
Aww.
And then there's also
I just got the saddest face.
I know.
But then, like, are you stuck under a table?
But then there was, you know, groups would take like a slice of pizza and they would sit around and then everybody would take a bite off the pizza until it got back. And that was supposed to also, like, if everybody slept around, look, you're eaten. What do you have left to give?
Do you realize that there is an endless amount of sex that is to be had?
Right?
This is not something that runs out.
Yeah. And the unfortunate part too is
until you're about 40.
That they
45.
That they are finding that that women have a lot of self-loathing, do not have any self-worth, and then when they finally do get into these relationships because they think that's the be-all end-all, that a lot of them end up being kind of in physically abusive relationships too, because they don't have the self-worth.
Yeah. And they don't stand up for themselves
and
or know how to.
Right. Well, because you just don't feel like you have ownership over yourself. Right. And I went to the Mormon church. I had some Mormon church stuff, but also grew up in Idaho, and their sex education, which is a lot in the United States, is also abstinence only. And who the hell knows, as we will find out in the public school system, what is that teacher and what religion are they? And that's going to also really affect what your children are learning.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Are you going to learn the basics? This is what male, this is what female is. And there's, you know, there's no gray, for
right.
one. That's we got to cover that in sex ed. There's no gray in there, by the way. Oh, wait. Yes, there is.
Right.
And then it's like my mom's old biology book from when she was growing up. Not only did it have the male and female sex organs, but they figured, why not save space and draw them together in coitus and label them? So
right.
at least she understood that the penis went into the vagina at some point. They don't even cover that in like public education.
No.
Because they can't say the word penis.
Right. And what? So what?
Or vagina.
And then I could only imagine same, you know, gay, lesbian.
I need a
lesbian,
sound for that, by the way.
And them being
trans,
like deeply confused too. Just like, wait a minute.
Hey,
what?
If you have any questions about sexuality or what gender is, watch Steven Universe because, oh my God, it's so awesome.
Yeah.
But also, I think I need a sound for whenever I say vagina. I'm thinking of maybe a hoo-ha hoot. Hoot hoot.
Yeah. But it's not good.
There's a lot of healing to be done. It
yes,
sounds like.
For sure.
On kind of a related note, in August, the American Psychological Association released a report with guidelines for mental health professionals to follow in addressing the toxic effects of traditional masculinity ideology. Areas that have been identified as particularly toxic are self-reliance, anti-femininity, achievement, eschewal of the appearance of weakness, and Adventure, Risk, and Violence. Now let's bring in Albert Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and a member of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood.
I can't believe that's a thing, but yet I can totally believe that that's a thing.
I'm sure he's got some real smart opinions on this.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he thinks these guidelines
expert, after all.
Cannot, quote, be honestly and consistently squared with any form of historic biblical Christianity.
It's okay. True. He's got an absolute point. This is not Christian.
It's not possible to mesh those kinds of concepts with modern evangelical Christianity.
Right.
Other branches of Christianity are capable of addressing it. Evangelicalism can't. It is too tied up in absurd macho America fuck yeah bullshit.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, even if you just take one thing out of that, let's say respect women, that wipes out a whole bunch of religions.
Uh-huh.
It's just not right. Not copacetic.
Right.
But as a society, that's what we've evolved into.
Yeah.
So this is what we demand of people, is you have to be respectful.
Right.
And the more literally a group takes the Bible,
yeah,
the more they are not capable of existing without toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Because the Bible is full of toxic masculine ideology.
I mean, they worship a war god.
Right.
When it comes down to, of course it's going to be all violence and rape and pillage and stone right. and sacrifice and
you know, kill all the men and keep all the women and girls for sex slaves.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I just like how he's like...
How admirable.
He says, this is all going to be confused, the fact that there is supposed to be some difference between men, women and men. That was a quote from this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait. That's not at all what they are talking about.
No, we're not demanding that that a manly man become... What do you call that? Androgynous.
Right.
That's not what the 90% of society is going to be the same, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah,
and that's what the thing. If you introduce equal rights to people who are transgender, that does not mean that all men are going to become women and women are going to become
right.
men. And then sex means nothing and gender right. means nothing. No, that's not.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying that there's a small group of people who have been trampled on. Please,
right.
show them the same respect you would show everybody else.
Right, exactly. And the thing is that I also think this. This wasn't also saying that, oh, masculinity, period, is horrible. Like, it's not saying that
no,
at all.
No.
It's just saying, hey, this toxic masculinity is making it so that people aren't reaching out for help, that there's a lot more bullying going on, that I think a lot to do with the mental health issue, mm-hmm. right?
You know, my own personal experience growing up in a conservative Christian every part of my life, including my school, this was very much a part of almost every problem I faced. The bullying was all directly related to this. And that was the majority of my problems were around the bullying. And the only ways I knew how to try to rise above that was by going full force into this traditional masculinity ideology. It was, nobody's going to help you, so you have to take care of it yourself. You have
to. With your fists.
With your fists, yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody slights you, punch them in the face.
Oh, God.
That was the only way I was able to get the bullying to stop.
Right.
And part of that was because some teachers didn't know how to deal with it because they were young.
Right.
That was pretty much all of the female teachers, and all the male teachers were old, and I think probably of the opinion of
boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys, right. Man up and deal with it.
Right. Don't cry about it.
And it's
punch him.
It was perfect that Gillette came out with that commercial 3 days after this report was given. So obviously they arrived to this conclusion on two totally separate, because the filming of that commercial would have done long before the report was released. But it was a perfect visual of what they were talking about with toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
You can still be a masculine man and break up fights. You can still be a masculine man and tell your daughter that she's strong and she can be amazing and she can be whatever she wants.
Right. You mean she can have sex whenever she wants and we don't have to put a ring on it and tell her that.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's relevant.
I mean that she's her own person.
Yeah.
Essentially.
She's
like,
her own person.
Just like any boy and any girl.
But what it also helped visualize was that this is as much of a problem for women as it is for men.
Yeah.
Dustin had as much of a problem growing up with this as Aaron and I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we experienced it in different ways, but it's there. And I would say that on the flip side, women do have some societal norms that maybe need to be addressed as well.
Well,
It's all about, you know, what's typical, like...
Well, I always felt really weird and really guilty about the fact that, like, I actually have for a long time thought, oh, I am not going to get married till I'm 30. I'm going to have my master's degree. And I had always waffled on whether or not I actually wanted kids because I don't want to stay home with a child. I want to work.
Yeah.
I would rather have, if I was going to have a kid, my thought was always like, well, then hopefully my husband can take care of this child because I want to work. I don't want to lose that part. And now I realize like I don't actually have to have a kid, but I still feel incredibly weird and uncomfortable with getting up and talking about being single and being okay with not having kids and being okay with... Listen, as a comedian, I always think I'm going to be single forever because who the fuck wants a mouthy bitch getting up on stage talking about really weird stuff, right? But that I think is the same way.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to want...
Well, and the typical response that women can't be funny for one is hilarious there. But yeah, we have to face traditional femininity and say... No, that's kind of bullshit too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I do think it's good that traditional masculinity is being addressed first.
Yes.
Because it's literally killing people.
Absolutely.
Traditional masculinity is killing men and women, and it's holding both men and women back.
Absolutely.
Traditional femininity does also need to be addressed. The toxic parts of that
life
need
fucking
to be
miserable,
identified.
But, right.
But it's not killing people.
Yeah.
Well, that we know of.
It's probably driving some people to suicide.
Yeah,
but.
I was gonna say,
I mean, because that's a.
But they're not overtly, you know, setting your car on fire
because
you said no on a date.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Last month, Timmy Kenner, who was awaiting trial for last year's fatal refugee stabbing in Boise, filed a petition with the court to change his name to Eternal Love.
So, just in case you didn't think he was already crazy for stabbing a 3-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Right.
He stabbed nine people at a children's birthday party.
He killed a 3-year-old.
Killed the 3-year-old.
The kid whose birthday it was.
Uh-huh. I mean, and he said it was because it was God's will that is his true name, right?
A little more in the recap. Yes, that is why. The stabbing was bad enough that when she was taken to, which would have been really quick because it's a couple blocks away, to St. Alphonsus to the trauma center, they had to fly her to Salt Lake for pediatric trauma because the normal trauma center couldn't, it was beyond their expertise.
It was terrible.
And unfortunately,
it was that bad.
She died mid-flight. So
yeah. So as he put it, the reason for this request is, quote, "This is my God-given right and the title that I want to be known as and remembered by."
I'm pretty sure you're not going to be remembered by your name, sir.
Nope. Except it doesn't help that there are people standing around Boise with cardboard signs saying death to Timothy Kenner.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, sorry, dude, you're not escaping that name.
Yeah.
No. When you murder a 3-year-old refugee on her birthday.
Oh, gosh. Right.
You are not going to be remembered for anything other than that.
Right. Except for now your crazy antics afterwards. But I think that he... Honestly, this is just a way to make it so people are talking about what the real issue is, which is that he killed somebody.
Well,
a child.
What he's wanting, this, okay, at first glance, this is crazy. It probably is just crazy, as we will get into later.
Right.
But if he could have his name changed before the trial, then they would have to refer to him throughout the trial as
Eternal Love.
Eternal Love.
Yeah.
Eternal Love killed a 3-year-old.
Right.
And that would tweak the jury's perspective.
For sure. But apparently,
I don't think that guy is that
Idaho
clever.
Idaho law does have restrictions on name changes for both minors and convicted sex offenders. And I think they're trying to look, because it's unclear about inmates waiting on felony charges. Mm-hmm. So this isn't going to be coming up until March, I think, is when it's supposed to be reviewed.
It was supposed to be.
It's indefinite now. They've decided that he's not mentally capable of going to trial. So.
No. The name change is supposed to happen.
Just the name change.
That was before he was declared unfit.
Oh, okay.
He's not competent to go through any legal proceeding.
Not until January 2020.
Is considered a legal proceeding.
There we go.
So he has been committed for 90 days at this point. Likely to be have another 180 days added on top of it.
Yeah.
To the Idaho Secure Medical Facility, which is at the Idaho State Maximum Security Institution.
Well, I mean, that's...
He was a danger to society. Yeah. He's been taken out of it.
This is the determination that he is mentally unwell and unstable enough for the patients at any other psychiatric institution to maintain their safety.
Right. So he's separated from everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Maximum security psych ward.
Yeah.
Is what he's at.
Yeah. When I was reading the article, I guess he's been like sending a lot of weird notes to people. I mean, even before this, he had asked to talk with the detectives before his legal team could be like,
he's doing all sorts of stuff wrong.
Oh, this whole confinement or commitment is at the request of his lawyer.
Oh, I bet, because he can't stop.
Right.
He can't stop.
At the Idaho Environment Forum, Idaho's new governor, Brad Little, spoke.
Yes, he did.
And he acknowledged that climate change is real, that it needs to be addressed both to minimize it getting worse and to protect the state from its effects. And apparently climate change is obvious enough here that the Republican governor of one of the most Republican states, who just won by a landslide, might actually start taking it seriously.
Well, he says he's taking it seriously.
Well, this is one thing that he did. He didn't break away from Butch Otter for a lot of things. This is one of the ones that set him aside, was the fact that he consistently disagreed with Otter's proactively ignoring climate change. So it is nice to finally hear somebody at the top say, okay, yeah, this is definitely affecting us. And maybe we see a task force in the future. And
well, they already have something. I mean, he and Governor Otter signed this shared stewardship agreement with the agricultural department, but that was more to help protect national forests from wildfires in safe logging.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yes, he is.
If Otter
totally
did
there.
Anything, Otter did it for industry.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That was what he stood for.
Now, there are ways to have a win-win where you use selective logging to help mitigate some of the fire risk. We can't prevent fires. The forests need the fires to be healthy, but we don't want fires to get so ridiculously out of control that they burn the entire state.
Well, the problem is that we did suppress them so much that now most every forest is very unhealthy and very cluttered and just waiting to catch the whole thing on fire, right? And so once that happens, then you burn all the trees and then erosion happens.
Yep.
And then like it's just this cycle that is pretty bad. And so logging could, but the problem is that if you don't log properly, then you have that same erosion problem. You have that same other issue. So you have to be very careful.
Right. You can't do the cheap method of clear cutting. You have to go right. in and selectively choose stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what drives me crazy is that climate change is more than wildfires. There's so yeah. much more going on that, is, and Idaho has a lot to lose because we yes. are so, we are so reliant on our pristine natural resources
right.
that yeah. we need to be addressing people's day-to-day activities yeah. as well.
I think,
and that's always been a tough one for politicians right. to face.
And I think there was something thrown out there that he fracked on his land. He was doing some fracking. I mean, that's what the other candidate had said, that he, or he was selling part of it so that he could frack.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, and so, I don't know, you know, I just think, here's what I think is funny, is that he's like, and I quote, Mr. Little, now reversing it is going to be a big darn job.
Oh my God.
If that isn't...
Yeah.
That's almost Midwest. That's yeah, just so...
Well, you have to keep in mind, he's... The first word in the name of the beer, Little Bitch Otter, is him.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
He is the little in Little Bitch Otter.
Yeah. He, I mean, it's great. It's great that he said that this is something that needs to happen and that we've got to slow it down and that he's recognizing it. I think we all should be very, I think we should also just be watching.
Yeah. Oh,
because
yeah, definitely.
I feel like there's like another sneaky reason why he yeah. might be saying this right
yeah,
now.
It's true. I mean, it's all everything suspect.
The Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation released their 140-page Project Blitz playbook last year with the aim to, quote, protect religious freedom, preserve America's Judeo-Christian heritage, and promote prayer.
This is the one that Dustin and I both shared separately.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I shared it first because yeah. I saw it right when it when it came out. This is atheist podcast like treasure. Right. This is like, oh, this is bad.
So my question
is: this
is
the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah. Every play, what's the play's name? I just want to know what the play's names are. Just like, all right, so on page 27, we've got Sharon's, I don't know.
it's great. Yes. Well,
Sharon's Hail Mary.
The Blitz
yes!
is the Blitz is underway. And Blitz, of course, from Blitzkrieg.
Right, like this is also an attack.
Uh-huh.
It's essentially an attack to make everybody Christian. Right?
Yep, it is. Across the states, there are bills to put In God We Trust in public buildings, on cop cars, and in schools. There are bills to have Christian Bible study classes. There's Religious Freedom Acts to promote anti-gay discrimination. And so much more. We will be talking about these bills, but as a general rule, especially during state legislative season, mm-hmm. which generally runs January to about April,
mm-hmm.
There are so many of them because the states are the testbed for democracy and all kinds of crazy gets introduced and most of it never sees committee that yeah. we generally only talk about it if it's actually passed a legislative body.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I did like reading this besides just being like, I wonder what I think it would be funny if they did name everything. Like it was a funny name. But I didn't realize.
You could read the,
oh yeah, I'm sure I could, but I don't want to. That sounds boring as hell. but I did learn that January 16th is Religious Freedom Day, and it's supposed to when it was passed in 1992, what it was supposed to do was celebrate all faiths or none. But our dear president last year decided uh-huh. to make it something totally different. And I do have to ask a question. When they say Christian nationalists, are they meaning nationalists as in like a nationalist in my mind is a person who is basically like Nazi or
brainwashed patriot.
Okay. Yeah, or
that would be specifically when you're looking at the National Socialist Party of Germany,
mm-hmm.
the Nazi Party.
Yeah,
that was a very specific form of nationalism.
Right.
In this kind of a case, it's more people who are pushing the notion that America is a Christian nation.
Yeah. that we're God chose.
It tends to include with it, God loves us and nobody else, which ends up having an anti-immigration element with it usually.
Isn't most nationalism though usually, I mean, in this nation would be a lot of like white supremacy.
Across the Western world, it is.
Yeah.
It usually is.
Okay.
That's like when this guy that I worked with at Best Buy was telling me about, he considers himself a separatist.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, a separatist was always somebody who was pro-Confederate in the Civil War.
Right.
I'm like, you're a separatist? So you want Idaho to like secede from the Union? What does that mean? It wasn't until later that I realized that he meant races should be separated.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, oh wait, you're just a freaking Nazi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with the Christian nationalism, there sometimes and often is it is the concept that white American Christians are a nation.
Right.
That are distinct from other nation, because a nation is a people.
Yes.
Not a country, even though we use those terms interchangeably because of the nationalist movements of the 1800s to create a country for every people group in Europe.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing is that, like, in this article said, and what Trump is doing is to instead help protect people. It really is going down, and then it's really just to protect Christians. They feel like Christians are being, I don't know,
they're being, you know, picked on. Just they're like being they picked on, right? Way.
Exactly. And that they need to be protected from, they just need to be protected to be able to be bigots.
Yeah. Basically.
And so yeah, there's the literal meaning of what it means, and then there is the what they actually mean.
Not being Christian is what
not being Christian, not being pro-white. It was just like the MAGA the MAGA hat wearing teens that were ridiculing that Native American. It's like that proved right there that and they were chanting about the wall.
Right.
They were all students at a Catholic high school.
Right. But that just proves right there that whole area, that whole thing had nothing to do with Mexican immigration. It is it was white supremacy based. Exactly. And you can't claim anything else because they weren't even talking to somebody who was Mexican. They were talking about somebody who had more right to the land than they do.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's like, well, technically this means this, but everybody knows it. Wink, wink. It means that.
It makes me very fearful.
All right. The city of Anchorage, Alaska has a non-discrimination ordinance that includes gender identity, and they are investigating a Christian-run women's shelter for turning away a trans woman.
Okay.
Now, in their defense, they say it was because she got there after check-in hours and was intoxicated. That's what they say.
Now that claim would all be invalidated,
right,
by the lawsuit that they are filing along with the so-called Alliance Defending Freedom, which I think would be more accurately defined as the Alliance Defending Hate.
Right.
If they had stuck with that, oh well, it was against the rules,
mm-hmm. right.
Then it would be fine. But they said, oh, it's against the rules. And we have the right to say no.
Yeah. Because we don't want somebody, we don't want a male who's going to trigger all these women when they undress in front of them.
Maybe that person's a sexual deviant and these are all victims already. I mean, there's so... Ugh,
they made the argument that there would be women who would stay out of the shelter and go sleep in the woods rather than go to a place with a biological male. Which is absurd.
It's not, actually.
Well,
there are women who would do that. There are...
The reason this is absurd, this is Anchorage, Alaska. It is January.
Okay.
If you go sleep in the woods, you're dead.
That's true. But I have met plenty of women who are just as transphobic.
Oh, absolutely. But
that's beside the point. Legally, you can't claim that as a reason to turn someone away. And we're trying to do that here in Idaho. We're trying to get that added. Add the words, you know, that.
So that that doesn't happen.
So that can't happen here.
Yeah.
Right now, as we're recording, it is 7 degrees and foggy in Anchorage. 7 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yummy.
Overnight low will be 5 degrees.
Goodness.
Get it. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be awful.
It's.
So what about you, this?
We don't know.
What about this trans woman? Where is she supposed to go? She's supposed to go to a male homeless shelter?
I don't think they give a shit where she goes because they're
she's
like
die in the woods.
Right.
Thanks, Anchorage. Mm-hmm.
Like the because
oh, actually not Anchorage. This is just this one.
This one
is this Christian shelter.
Right.
And this is when people this is the 60th year of the Boise Rescue Mission. So the city has been promoting it a lot this past year. They even have banners lining the streets talking about the 60th anniversary of the Boise Rescue Mission. And my argument is, wouldn't it be even better if they didn't proselytize when
right.
people went there? And the blowback I get from that on Facebook really? Groups are is just insane.
Well, the city's partnership with the Boise Rescue Mission is one of the reasons why Boise's anti-homeless ordinance was ruled against in federal court.
Did I tell you? Did I already say this on the podcast that when I was looking for a job, they had an events coordinator position, but you had to, you have to have a testimony.
Yep.
That Jesus Christ is the savior. And someone was like, well, just lie. And I was like, oh no, I couldn't do that. it just wouldn't.
I had a person in my family who was working for the Salvation Army and it was like, I'm like, why would you right. do that? And right. and they just said, well, you know, a job's a job. But when they started going through the books and getting rid of non-Christian books, that was when they threw down they're like, no, you can't. That's censorship. That's
right.
that's like the most un-American thing you can do.
It's
congrats on the your new job at the co-op, by the way.
You know, so, but this lawsuit was specifically the specific claims was that it violated the privacy of the woman in the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to be a tenuous argument, and that it violates the shelter's religious freedom because apparently the shelter needs the right to be able to say that a trans woman is not a woman,
which is exactly why the city passed that law to prevent people from doing that. So you can't.
Yep.
Sorry, if you're going to work within city limits, you're going to have to follow city rules.
Right.
If you can't, you have to, you move out. You go outside of city limits. Go into the woods.
Yep.
Go be amongst the bears.
A Nebraska man.
So good on Anchorage, by the way.
Oh, yeah. A Nebraska man who is serving a 4 to 8 year sentence for assault and weapons charges sued the Nebraska State Penitentiary for violating his religious freedom. The judge dismissed his case, ruling that the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster is a parody, not a religion, and thus not entitled to constitutional protections or $5 million.
Right.
Oh, damn, they figured us out.
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, I do
what
like
the
argument.
This guy was bored.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, it was like, you're in prison, you don't have a lot of time, but you are supposed to be afforded the right to have time to your religious. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, well, you can get extra time out of your cell or whatever
right.
to practice your religion.
And he was specifically asking to be able to have weekly meetings to practice his religion.
Right. Where the religious
the
garments.
Uh-huh.
No, it was a pirate costume, actually.
He's a true
and
believer.
Take sacrament.
Yep.
Which I don't know what sacrament is. Is it pasta?
It's a beer. Pasta? Oh.
Yeah,
I have no idea, but
it's actually way more in depth than I ever thought
right.
it would be.
But I do like how the judge was like, "Well, hey, listen, it's not a religion on the federal and constitutional kind of level, but really, it's intended to advance an argument about science and the evolution of life and the place of religious and public education." And they did state that those are important issues,
mm-hmm.
but in this case, no.
I love it. you know what? It's such a stereotypical thing. It's like you get put in prison. What are you going to do? You're going to start studying law books.
Yeah.
Everybody does it.
Yeah.
It's a thing. So he found something that he thought was a loophole.
Right.
It was, you know, didn't work out, so he sued. And I have to give credit where credit is due. This guy, you know,
he tried. He also has tattoos. And that was one of his arguments, too. Like, look, I have tattoos of it.
It's like, I'm not even pretending. Like, yeah. Half these other assholes in here, they're pretending that they found Jesus last week.
Right.
I have the spaghetti monster on me. So let me worship. And it's like, but credit to the judge, too, because he called us out.
There's a couple lines I want to read that are just so good. This is not a question of theology. It's a matter of basic reading comprehension. The FSM gospel is plainly a work of satire meant to entertain while making a pointed political statement. He goes on to talk about if this were allowed, then people could try to ground religious exercise in any other work of fiction, like the works of Kurt Vonnegut, named him in it. Of course, there are those who contend, and Kavanaugh is probably among them, that's the plaintiff, that the Bible or the Quran is just as fictional as these books. It is not always an easy line to draw, but there must be a line drawn beyond which a practice is not religious simply because a plaintiff labels it as such. The court concludes that FSMism is on the far side of that line.
Well, it would be like if somebody said, well, I need to train as a Jedi because I belong to that religion. It's mm-hmm. like, I can see a judge saying, no, you can't.
Come on now.
Well, and it's part of why I have mixed feelings with the rulings that have granted humanism some legal protection in the federal court system specifically. Mm-hmm. And the Satanic Temple and their pseudo parody religion, parts of it's parody, part of it isn't.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, the line's fuzzy.
Right.
Scientology is based on works of science fiction.
Yet they are a church under tax.
In the United States, they are not recognized as a religion in every country, though.
Like Germany?
Yeah.
Where they'd get
Germany
taxed.
And France.
But I can totally see this guy sitting there seeing these other people getting an extra hour of, you know, alone time because they can go worship, or an extra hour with other people, depending on how. And it's like people who don't smoke. It's like, you're punishing me for not smoking by not letting me have the same amount of breaks as that person who's going out to smoke.
Exactly.
Most workplaces, you know, try to mitigate that, but I mean, come on, 10 years ago you felt screwed if you weren't smoking. You're like, I'm gonna start smoking just so I can go outside for a few minutes.
That's what the tobacco company wants you to do.
There we go.
And they're in cahoots with everybody.
That's this. Yeah. this is just another way of Christians trying to proselytize in the prisons. It's like, well, you get extra time to worship.
Well, and I mean, don't they bring groups in too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Prison ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention good behavior crap.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Now, one of the things I do like about this, though, is that with this defining a line there, and the more firmly that line can be defined, the more tenuous religious privilege will be in the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the short term.
Right.
Because Trump's gotten two Supreme Court appointees.
With a third probably on its way.
Yeah. Hopefully only a third.
Wait, what?
Oh, that RGB is not doing...
No, she's back. Stop. No.
On, she's... Give her a break.
No. Didn't she say she's not going anywhere at this moment?
Was it two or three members of the Supreme Court that are... over 80 or will be by the time Trump's term is over?
Yeah. Well, let's just, I feel like she's hanging on just to see him out of office. She's going to be like, I will die in this seat before, you know, I give up.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for news.
News.
We have two new patrons.
Woo! 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 Woo!
It's not often we get to say that.
Wah, 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 wah.
Michelle K. and Rebecca P.
Rebecca P. Shout out.
That's awesome.
Shout out to Mal, too. That's our dog.
Yes, thank you both very much. This is awesome. We are now up 4 patrons this month.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Lovely.
Thank you so much. There is going to be a Facebook group dedicated to patrons. So so we'll be reaching out to you, or if you're interested, mm-hmm. reach out to us. And you can get sneak peeks of content, get invited to Discord chats.
We're working on a revamp or maybe on a relaunch of our Patreon presence with some changes that are coming, and we'll be announcing those closer to the start of the new month, because Patreon recommends making changes at the start of the new billing cycle. Makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
So we're going to be announcing that all closer to then. Watch out for it, because it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we have feedback. Chris via the website, and these first two are from the website about 2 weeks ago's episode, because the notifications got sent to spam.
Oh.
I need to fix that. Mm. That was a glitch in my changing around of settings. I am sorry I missed these until now, but from Chris via the website, well, I'm not white. I am indigenous from Canada. So rest assured, not all of your listeners are white.
First person's peoples. That's awesome. Nice. First person, first people.
First Nations.
First Nations. Ugh. Drop the ball on that one. First Nations, though. That's awesome.
And from Josh via the website, there have been many deaths resulting from male circumcision, even here in America. It's barbaric.
Yeah.
And he left a link, which you can find in the comments to episode 285 at atheistnomads.com/285.
Yeah.
We won't get into that. I actually just had a talk about that on Friday outside of this podcast.
Yeah.
Awkward.
No, I mean, I think it was a great conversation.
Oh, good.
I like getting into thoughtful conversations.
Good.
Yeah. And from Celia via Facebook, nice to hear Aaron as your new co-host, although I would have liked Mikey too, since he's become one of my favorite Atheist Nomads guests, and Aaron too. Either way, I approve. Smiley face. Lauren, Kylie, and Rocco aren't going anywhere from the show, right? Good. Smiley face.
Not unless I get half of everything.
As the baby's like, wait, stop laughing. Stop laughing, Mom.
No, Kylie's probably not going anywhere until she can reliably not roll off of the bed watching cartoons.
Right. Until she understands what we're kind of talking about, and then maybe we...
Was that a dig at me?
No.
That was.
No, that wasn't.
I still feel bad. She rolled off the bed this week.
You know what?
Landed right on her head.
Oh, I feel like most babies do that.
She cried for 5 minutes and then was over it. Yeah.
And Rocco's not going anywhere. We just don't know when.
Let's just not talk about it.
Yeah. He's a chihuahua, but he has brain damage. So he could be around blind, running into things for another 10 years for all we know.
Right. Barking at the wall.
Yes, very much so.
And we have survey demographics. This is what everybody's been waiting for since the launch of the survey, I know.
Except for you've been keeping us updated every week.
Yeah.
Mostly just you. I haven't had that many details.
Okay.
Little snippets, but they all change as more people responded.
It's
It's exciting. So 57.4% of all listeners are between 25 and 44. That's combining, I combine groups to get, majorities where I can. And interestingly, 18% of listeners are over 55.
Okay, so we got a couple, I wouldn't say retirees, because you have to work until you're like freaking 80 now just to be able to survive. But yeah, nice.
That was the number I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
You know, the
you don't think of podcast listeners as, but it's really actually the perfect demographic of people to listen to podcasts. Besides, truck drivers.
Yeah.
They may have time.
64.8% of listeners identify as male. What's interesting there is early on, female was the most common response.
Oh, really?
And I think what I learned
from
that,
timely.
Women are more likely to respond to stuff quickly than men.
Oh, I see.
Or they were more likely to listen to the end of the episode when you actually mentioned the survey.
Or that, yeah. 27.8% identify as female, and 7.4% is non-binary or other.
Awesome.
Cool. I was not expecting non-binary to be that high.
You know, more than just like one person?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
A majority at 53.7% of listeners have a household income less than $60,000 per year. 16.7% are over $100,000 per year.
Hey, you know what, guys? We need new microphones and a soundboard.
Now, college funds.
I did crunch the numbers, and yeah, it is quite possible that every listener who makes over has a household income over $80,000 that responded to the survey is a patron.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's
thank
possible.
You. Thank you.
Yeah.
We
if
appreciate
not,
you.
Read between the lines there, please.
Aaron's gonna beg.
If you're
a little
rich,
more.
We need your money. If you're not, thanks for listening.
Yes. 46.3% of listeners have completed some college,
whoop, whoop,
but not earned a degree.
Hmm. Hell yeah.
And there were a dropouts. Equal number of responses from people with doctorates as there were with a high school education.
Interesting.
At two responses each.
Okay.
Oh.
So overall, fairly educated.
Yeah.
Which also, you know, not to tout atheism or anything, but we do tend to be a more educated group.
Agitated?
Agitated. Right. You can tell who the college dropout was, by the way.
About half of the listener base has a college degree or higher. Cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. 77.4% identify as straight. 13.2% is bi or pan.
Yes.
3.8% is gay. And I did not make asexual an option on the survey, but 5.7% entered it on the line.
Oh,
good for you. Nice. Yeah, sorry about the lack of aces there. That's unforgivable this day and age. Surprised that we had so few gay.
Mm-hmm.
But considering how much there's been like bi erasure,
mm-hmm,
is that how you pronounce that? Heartened to hear that more than one person responded as a bisexual, because
and pansexual
and bi/pansexual. Yeah. They don't get the love that they deserve,
right?
Mm-hmm. 59.3% are married.
Okay,
so slight majority there, and 9.3% are in a open relationship or poly.
All right. If it works, it works.
That was the other interesting demographic there. Yeah.
I'm just thinking about like our conversation from last
week.
Yeah,
I know. That was like,
hey, guys.
Doesn't work for everybody,
no,
but when
it doesn't,
it does,
but it's great.
And that was one of the ones where I left the, it wasn't you pick one, it was you could pick more.
Mm.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Okay.
Because, you know, somebody could be married and poly.
Yeah. That's absolutely.
Someone
yeah
could just be single AF.
Yeah.
We're looking at Aaron.
At 51.9%, a slight majority of listeners are not parents.
Hmm.
Okay.
And nobody selected maybe.
Oh,
like
good.
They may be parents.
Uh-huh.
Well,
I think that was a kind of a humorous tongue in cheek
yeah
one, but
good for not falling on it.
Humorous tongue in cheek, and I tried to be as inclusive as I was able to think of at the time.
That was great.
Yeah.
I missed some, like, sorry again to the aces. Yeah. And also sorry again to widows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And widowers.
And widowers.
Yeah.
Okay.
You when this is the first time you do a survey, you learn for the next time.
Yes.
At 17%, as many listeners were raised with no religion as were raised in an evangelical household.
17%? That's not very many.
Mm-mm.
But for our largest demographic being 25 and over, that's the...
Okay, yeah.
That's the leaving religion generation, not the growing up without it generation.
So I was thinking that was low for evangelical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would figure that a lot more people would have been raised Pentecostal mm-hmm or something, but
Catholic and mainstream Protestant were the most common responses at 18.9% each.
Okay. That's what I would expect.
Not a lot higher than evangelical or none.
Yep, that's true.
Adventist, JW, and Mormon make up a combined 7.6%, meaning one or two responses each.
Okay.
Hmm.
But that's still more than the general population.
Yeah. Jewish people. Did you not include?
No, I did, but no Jewish.
Okay.
No response from anybody that's raised Jewish.
Okay.
I was having to think because it wasn't one of the ones that got my attention.
Well.
88.9% identify as atheist.
Okay. Openly atheist or just?
Out of the options, they selected atheist.
Okay.
Oh. Do you know, I was thinking about this and I talked to my mom. I was like, you know, I just posted something about being a co-host for this Atheist Nomads, and I didn't realize that was actually me coming out.
Oh!
I have not openly said...
You haven't
said
talked to your
no.
parents or any
well,
of your no, friends
about
parents,
that? Well, no, my parents know, of course, and they don't
they're
care.
You.
Yeah,
they're
you,
care.
You. They don't care. But no, for Facebook...
That's true.
For the 600-plus people who are quote-unquote friends, I had not said anything about it. And so I was like, oh, I didn't lose anybody, but I did totally block somebody the other day.
Oh, nice.
And it was a coworker. And so that was the lesson in don't ever be Facebook friends with your coworkers.
Never, ever.
You will find out that they want you to call Pelosi and scream build the wall on their voicemail.
Oh,
yeah.
And that was when I was like, fuck no.
Oh, wow. the other responses that we got, some of which I had... actually had as available responses, others put them in on the other line, were satanic temple, anti-theist, non-theist, humanist, agnostic, and none.
Wait, you didn't have agnostic as a...
No, I did.
Oh, wait, this is a combination.
Some
of
selected, those were all one or two each. 63% listened to 10 or more podcasts.
Wow. Yep, that... Once you listen to one...
That also explains why the app didn't do well, because apps do really well for podcasts that have where most of their listeners only listen to
the one
to three podcasts.
Yeah,
right.
And if your listeners all listen to 10 or more, they're power podcast listeners.
What do you do to listen to 10? Because
you are sitting at a desk all day.
Well, and see, my mind doesn't work very well that way because I get so distracted. So my podcast listening is usually in the car. And I used to have like 4 subscribed podcasts, and now it's down to like 2 or 3.
Yeah, it's like I listen to it almost exclusively in the car on trips.
Yeah,
I could listen to them here in the house.
You guys are powerhouses if you listen to 10.
I honestly think it's people who listen while they work.
Yeah,
like me.
Yeah,
I listen when I work and drive, and I'm subscribed to 43 podcasts.
Holy cow. See, I think my anxiety doesn't let me do that because then they start building up and I'm like, I can't do it anymore. Unsubscribe.
Yeah.
Oh, that happens periodically. It starts to fill up and I figure out which ones I enjoy the least and I get rid of them.
Right.
And then periodically I don't have enough in my feed. So I subscribe to some new ones.
Yeah.
One recent addition was Florida Man.
Florida Man. Florida Man.
A couple other relatively recent additions, it's been last year, was Let's Talk About Sex. It's a podcast about cults.
Oh.
And S-E-C-T. Let's Talk About Myths Baby.
Yeah.
Which is about Greek mythology.
Nice. Do you want to know my recent subscription?
Yeah.
I think you're both going to laugh. Yeah. It's called Why Won't You Date Me?
because
I want to be like Nicole Byer so bad. And like... I think we're the same person.
but
I learned a lot about myself.
Okay.
So
now only one response was from somebody who only listens to the Atheist Nomads.
Oh.
Well, that's dedication. That's awesome.
That is pretty cool.
And that wasn't my parents. So
do your parents listen to this?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes my parents listen too, and I don't learn about it until later.
Yeah.
They listen to this podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
My mom does. She like brought it up one day.
I used to go to church with you.
I know. She brought it up one day like, oh, did this happen? And I was like, how did you know about that? She's like, I mean, I listen to it.
That's so sweet.
I know. I was like, thanks, mom.
That's part of our over 55 crowd.
Yeah.
My parents did not do that.
No.
But yes.
But we did have, we had 54 responses, which I would say is probably statistically relevant.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah.
Cool.
98.1% are interested in science.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
That's all but one.
I'm going to be bringing back my science feature, I think.
Now that we have two science? No. I mean, Dustin likes science, but...
Yeah. No, I only dropped it because I got basically sick and pregnant and couldn't do it anymore.
And I dropped it because Lauren took it over.
Yeah.
So I need to bring it back.
And I like science, I think.
A little bit.
Just a tad.
I thought you just liked otters.
Oh, well, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I had so many different other jobs that didn't relate to otters that I talked about science.
Oh, the tarantula?
Yeah.
Super sweet.
74.1% like technology.
All right. That makes sense. Kind of hand in hand with science.
67.7% are interested in comedy.
Nice. That's most people listen to podcasts, I think, for the humor.
Yeah.
A lot, yeah. Humor and education.
Yeah.
And community would be the three. So apparently bringing comedians on has been a good thing.
Yeah. I feel like for the most part in the last few feedbacks, besides this one that I've been hearing, is that they like the family, they like the baby, they like the dog, and they like the comedians.
Yeah. Because no offense, Dustin, but, you're not that funny.
I know I'm not, which is why I wanted to bring comedians on.
Right. Yes. And I'm hilarious, but not enough to beat out an actual comedian.
Yeah, but the funny thing is when I brought on a comedian once, he was like, I have some good stuff. And I was like, I mean, you don't have to write out jokes specifically for this. Like, we're just naturally funny. Like, don't
it's
make
it a conversational funny.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Did you hear the one about the atheist that walked into the bar?
And more listeners are interested in dogs than cats.
Barely.
At 29.6% versus 27.8%.
One more person likes dogs.
I think it was two.
Two.
As Rocco's like,
Rocco knows that dinner time is in 20 minutes. He's trying to get the one up.
Anticipate.
A majority of listeners like how we're doing the occasional long form interview at 59.3%.
Nice.
And 25.9% want more interviews.
Okay.
Like more interviews of peoples?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I've reached out to
That's what an interview is, you dumb.
No, of the dogs.
This week, we're going to interview Rocco. Next week, Kylie, because babies make for fascinating interviews.
Great auditory.
Yes.
Yeah, if you do send us a suggestion for an interview, just understand that unless the person themselves is non-religious, I'm probably not going to reach out to them.
Right. And I think we're talking about that one gal.
Yeah.
She went to BYU.
BYU. I'm not going to do it. Just not going to.
I went to an Adventist university.
Yeah.
This is true.
I mean, I would say we should give the option to just reach out and say, hey, you've been suggested. And she can say,
I'd say a little research would be good.
Yeah.
Or little follow-up information, but yeah. The average listener would be a 38-year-old married straight man who does not have children and almost finished college, but was like a semester short, and has a household income of $55,000 per year and listens to 12 podcasts.
Man.
So it sounds like every other podcast listener.
Yep.
All right. Well, our average is still pretty average.
Yep. Yeah.
But we got some really cool diversity in there, and that is worth celebrating.
Right.
No, if you have a podcast whose listener base is less than 90% male, you're doing something right.
I would say that the podcast, Why Won't You Date Me, is most likely females.
Yeah. Can I Pet Your Dog?
Yeah, maybe.
It's probably mostly female. By the way, post pictures of your dog on our
Cara Santa Maria from Skeptic Guide to the Universe, her podcast Talk Nerdy to Me, she had been expecting that most of her listeners were women because she's a woman and most of her guests are women.
Yeah.
And then she found surprised. Out 90% of her listeners are male.
Holy cow. Probably because they're like, she's probably sexy. Sexy lady.
It's amazing. Yeah. Sometimes it's best not to post pictures of yourself online because you just want to lead those people on. It's like, right. You know what? Imagine me however you want to.
Now, in Kara's case, she figured out that being good at science and communicating and being beautiful worked out really well for a lucrative career as a science communicator.
Yeah.
Because people like putting her on camera.
That's good.
And she also was smart enough to figure out that's not going to last forever. So she's working on taking advantage of it. Getting a doctorate so that she can not have a job that relies on work, on looks.
Oh, good. That's good.
Good for her.
Or you could ask your co-host to never post a side picture of you ever again.
Dude, it was funny.
Yeah, but not.
I could take it down.
It's
too late.
Too late.
It's all right. You can post stupid pictures of me all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that wraps it up, and we are going to move over to... He's not here yet, but we're still going to move over to the post-show now.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.